Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Wilco, I Might. I Might too, Dave.
Look, Jade, you told me before that you did something very interesting sometime last week.
Yep.
Now, for me, when you mentioned this particular activity, I kind of thought, wow, wouldn't this be a great idea for a date?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to tell us what it is, Jade?
Yeah. So I went to the planetarium, Dave.
The planetarium.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello, strokers. You know, isn't that a great idea for a date? Like, forget the movies.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because it's like, you know, there's wine and cheese afterwards. So basically it was a tour of the universe, Dave. So you're laying...
With wine and cheese.
Yeah. So you're laying back and, you know, they take you through the vast reaches of space and everything that they've discovered so far. You know, this isn't like a kid's, you know, a kid's
It's not kids level kind of entertainment.
No. It's like
proper adult edutainment.
Yeah. And it's, you know, really you know, it's taken by an astronomer who, you know, will take you through this is what we've found out so far, and at the end there's a Q&A session of, you know, we were actually supposed to go outside and then look in the actual sky through telescopes and stuff, but it was too cloudy.
Oh, but wouldn't it be a good idea for just like a nice night out with your friends or with your partner or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I'm down for that. But what really surprised me was when you said that, I kind of thought, planetarium?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Like, do we actually have that in Melbourne?
I'm so out of touch. Planetarium in Melbourne.
So out of touch with what's it called? Astronomy Society.
Yeah.
Does it sound nice, the Astronomy Society? Because sometimes I feel that, you know, our astronomer friends work very hard, study many, many years, and not all of them get to go out to space or the moon.
No.
And, you know, sometimes they end up doing tours like this. Well, and that's okay.
Yeah, well, okay. I think, you know, I think it's definitely, I think there's value in that just from the point of view of, you know, space is such a massive, you know, concept to understand, and to be able to explain that in some sort of way to a general population.
You got to be proud of that.
Yeah, so that people can actually understand or begin to understand some of this stuff is, you know,
it's an amazing thing to have that knowledge and to be able to take it to, you know, your everyday folk. I mean, I used to work in health insurance, so I felt, you know, there was power in what I do to be able to understand health insurance.
I still text you with my health insurance questions.
See, and same with, you know, your telecommunication phone billing inquiries.
Yep.
It's the same thing. Sometimes this knowledge is power, and the ability to translate it for the layman, you know, don't look down on us, astronomers and health insurance workers. we're so alike.
Culture. The attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I really wanted to do the culture segment because I love talking about AFL and I love hearing that intro.
Well, what's really interesting about this is you actually, I don't know how comfortable I feel about this. You actually recorded the voices and some ambience of people at an AFL match.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that a little full on? I didn't even know you were doing this, by the way. I mean, the idea of this segment literally came about this morning when Jade said, oh, by the way, I recorded some people at the football. I'm like, whoa, hold on.
Well, you can't identify anyone. It's not like, I don't know, it's not that obvious who that person is. But
and all footy fans sound the same.
They do.
In that context, yes. In that environment, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, and I really decided, you know, partly through frustration and partly through excitement, that I thought it would be interesting to talk about the culture of being an AFL fan. Like, we talk about all other kinds of fandom.
We talked about, you know, sci-fi,
yeah,
you know, pop music fandom, and, you know, sports is really big in Australia. Mm-hmm. Let's not play it down. So, and there's a lot of people in our generation that still, you know, really love AFL, really love footy.
And I was interested to read today, there was, you know, a lot of news about how they've actually found out that live music in Melbourne actually contributes more to the economy than AFL does. But which is, you know, which is really good. I think is really good for, you know, the people who always get uppity about, oh, well, it's, you know, no one, this is an AFL controlled society. Well, it actually proves that it's not. But I do think that it's a valuable part of the culture. It just has some quirks, Dave.
There are some quirks. I mean, to be honest, we are talking about AFL culture, AFL fan culture.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually taken me to a real life AFL match twice.
Yes.
That's the two times I've ever watch football.
And I've got to tell you, Dave, live. You have not lived until you've seen David Lim, like, screaming after the players, girl, kick it over there.
You know, I wasn't, like, yelling on top of my lungs saying, girl. It was like a, you know, conversational tone, a kind of decibel. I wasn't one of those people heckling. I wasn't, you know, I'm not that kind of AFL watcher. But I got very moved.
Yeah.
I was really surprised because for someone that doesn't follow AFL,
yep.
For someone that don't participate in sports spectatorship,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised at my behavior. I think there's something that happens when you're there with a group of other people
mm-hmm.
watching sports. Something takes over.
Yeah.
When AFL takes over. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of group behavior that happens. And it's and what I found really interesting, Dave, is, like, there's definitely been a change in the culture as well, like, where there's an interesting time in AFL in that it's obviously becoming more and more a business, and it used to be very suburban based. It used to be, you know, you could go onto the ground and kick the footy after, you know, after the game, and you could even at one point you could go onto the ground and listen to what the coaches were saying to the players during the breaks. Now that would never happen, you know, these days. There were suburban grounds. All of the major teams have now, for the most part, left their suburban homes and are playing in either of the two big stadiums in Melbourne. But I guess the thing is, for me, like, there's kind of a culture that happens when you're at a football game where you're all in your team colours.
And that's one of the important things, that mm-hmm. It's preferred that you show up in your team colours.
Yeah.
In fact, it would be very wrong not to have any...
Or God forbid, you match the other team's colours.
That's the thing. I mean, when you took me, the two times you've taken me to a match,
mm-hmm.
you always made sure I was decked out properly. You made sure I came correct
mm-hmm.
to the match. Scarf, beanie, whatever,
mm-hmm.
badges. I mean, I'm surprised. Yeah. Badges.
You can get badges of your favourite players, Dave.
Oh. You see, to me, that's just too much.
You can wear jerseys, hoodies, jackets, anything the players wear, you can now wear.
I feel weird about that level of fandom. I mean, the closest I've come to a fandom like that is obviously pop music fandom, because I love pop music, but I would never wear, like, a Kylie hoodie or something. You know what I mean? Like, anything that blatantly says, I've been there. Like, I don't even feel that need to do that, let alone with football, mm-hmm. being on public transport, wearing your favorite player on a badge. I can't. That's too much fandom.
Dave, you are you familiar with the food, the meat pie thing?
Well, I noticed nobody was having sushi.
No.
At the AFL
the
matches.
The familiar call of hot pies, cold drinks.
Yes, it's sometimes, you know, certain types of alcoholic beverages do take precedence at these matches.
Yes. What about the umpires and our joint criticism of them, Dave?
This is something I didn't really pay attention to while I was watching the game. Is it a joint criticism from both teams?
Well, I think
it depends on which side the umpire is siding, of course.
No, but I feel like every supporter feels like their team is always hard done by the umpires. And so I think it is really a part of the culture. It's like, oh, you know, why are they favouring that team, you know? I think we're all guilty of it. The umpires probably have a difficult job and all of that, but, you know, I criticise them just like everyone else. Dave, the Footy Record, your area of expertise?
The Footy Record is a magazine publication that I feel the need to grab every time I go to a match.
Mm-hmm.
My background is in magazine publishing, so I'm very interested in that. And it is a big part of the football experience, I find, the football spectatorship experience. Everyone seems to have a copy, so there you go.
Dave, another one of my favourite and least favourite things is the coaching from the sidelines that happens, where the fans are yelling out instructions to the players, right?
Where, that is rich.
Where it's like, hey, kick it over there. Why'd you do that? What, you know, handball.
I think you will find that with every level of fandom, whether it's with sci-fi, mm-hmm. whether it's with, you know, Desperate Housewives or, you know, Kylie fandom, mm-hmm. the fans always think they know best.
Yeah, they do.
Every fan group, you know, every hardcore fan base thinks they know what's best for the artists, for the players, and they'll try to tell you what to do.
Yep.
And I think sometimes that shows your dedication, that shows your obsession, but it's also a little disrespectful, don't you think?
Yeah,
like, don't you trust in your players?
Sometimes it does feel like there's almost more at stake for the people who the people in the audience feel like there's more at stake for them than there is for the players. And maybe that kind of feeds into my next thing, Dave, about team rivalries and how it affects the workplace. Now, I had my boss tell me on Monday morning after the Essendon-Sydney game that she wasn't going to talk to me because my team beat her team on the weekend.
Is that acceptable behaviour,
Jade? I mean, she was joking, but there is kind of that level of like, and then, you know, I had someone else come in. You know, I have a picture of Joe Watson, who is the captain of Essendon, right near my desk. So everyone knows what team I barrack for. And, you know, I had someone else come in and tell me, oh, well, your team, I don't like your team, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
So it's a focal point for conversations.
Yeah, and I think it starts, you know, this sort of butting of heads or ribbing, or like, you know, when we had a new CEO start at work, he was very proud to tell everyone that he barracked for Collingwood. You know, it's like,
I think football, you know, AFL fandom definitely spills mm-hmm. over, not just from watching the match.
Well,
it's a part of your life. It's part of your family.
And, I've had many people say to me that if you move to Melbourne and you're not a native to Melbourne, you do have to pick a team, because one of the first things you'll be asked by anyone is, what team do you barrack for?
You know, my family moved from Perth, and we knew, mm-hmm. we knew that we had to come prepared with a team.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily take interest in that. My father did, though.
Mm-hmm.
When we were living in Perth, you know, Perth only has two teams, mm-hmm. as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
There's Frio, mm-hmm. and then there's West Coast. So, you know, we went for West Coast when we were living there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we moved to Melbourne, there was a switch in attitude. We felt like we need to pick a Victorian team.
Yeah,
I find that funny.
Mm-hmm.
I find that funny that maybe that's just my father and his lack of loyalty to a football team. But
and who does your dad go for now?
The Bombers.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. Go to listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, Zoe Badwee.
Yes, or as I like to call her, the First Lady of Dance. Yes. In Australia.
Yes. I remember we went to a party last year.
Yeah, we went to the Neon Records party, which is the label that she's on, founded by Grant Smiley, and Winter Gordon's also signed to that label and such. So we actually had a chat with her very briefly.
Yes.
Very briefly. So, we can say we met the First Lady.
Yes. Yeah, I was very excited to learn I had, in fact, met the First Lady of dance music in Australia.
But, the gays love Zoe. She's been around for a very long time, and I didn't even know how long she's been around for until Free Fallen went commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I'm a little ahead of the game. I would know an artist coming from a mile off, but Zoe Budwe, I can admit it, got me blindsided.
Yep.
She was happening in the club scene, and I wasn't aware of it. I knew of her songs, Jade, but I didn't know it was her. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Free Fallin's definitely her biggest hit. So the album Zoe came out on Friday. Free Fallin's definitely on there. But what a lot of people don't realize is she's been around for about 10 years. She's been in the industry for 10 years, Jade. She's had 6 club singles to date. Only 5 of them have made it on the album, I just realized.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been saying, oh, it's a long time coming. And you just really don't realize how long she actually has been around. I don't know if you remember this, Jade, but there was a girl group in Australia called Sirens. Now, they did...
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. But this might be the clue.
Yeah.
They did the bum dance song when Sarah Marie left the Big Brother house. Okay, Sarah Marie had a single. Yeah. She covered I'm So Excited.
Yeah.
That was the Sirens. Okay. Zoe Budwe was with the Sirens.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a strange and embarrassing connection, which I'm sure she doesn't bring up anymore, but I feel the need to.
That was like 2001?
Yeah. So that was Miss Zoe back then, and look at her right now. This is her debut album. So, you understand that it's hard work getting to this point. But it's a fantastic album. I've had a listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's a good mix of Eurodance and what I like to call Aussie dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I want an explanation, Dave.
An explanation of Aussie dance?
Yeah.
I don't want to say that I have it down to a T, but for me, what Aussie dance is anything Grant Smiley does. Anything TV Rock does.
Yeah.
I feel like it has its own sound. It has its own identity that, maybe is a little European, a little American, and it has its own identity. It's a little fiercer. The beat is a little more frenetic.
Mm-hmm.
Examples would be songs that... I don't know, what's an example of an Aussie dance song that Zoe did? Release Me, which was a 2009 single. That's on the album as well. But I remember when I first heard Release Me, I actually thought it was an American woman.
Mm-hmm.
She had so much sass in her voice, Jade. And, we actually, here at Joy, we played Release Me in the last hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I let you have a listen to it. I'm like, that is Zoe Budwe. Can you believe that? She is a great, talented singer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel that with dance music, you don't really get the credit. You don't get the props for it because they feel that, the music's so synthetic. Surely your voice must have been, tuned a billion times, and surely you must have just spoken into a mic and they turned it into something fantastic. But she has a very strong voice, Miss Zoe, and an amazing range, it turns out. So I know that lately she's been doing some acoustic performances of Free Fallin', and I can see people kind of light bulbs happening. Oh, Zoe Budwe can really sing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's refreshing. Having a look at the album, I would say there are 3 highlights. Release Me, Free Fallin' being the obvious, they're the singles. But in terms of album tracks, I would say Until You're Over Me is a fave of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jade, I love my dance ballads. Yeah. I love, that kind of emotionality. I don't always want to hear dance music where it's like raise your hands and, let's get crunk. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever. Like, that is tiring. I love a good emotional dance ballad, and Until You're Over Me, that's going to be the next single from the album I heard, so that's going to go off.
Yep.
And one other track on the album I want to quickly mention is One Step Behind. Now, this one is a little different from the kind of 4-to-the-floor stuff that Zoe has on the album. This one is a little more minimalistic, a little more electronica, and it actually kind of reminds me of Kylie Minogue's Aphrodite album track, Closer. So all you Kylie fans out there, I think you know what I'm talking about. So, but it's also, strangely enough, Jade, one of those songs that I feel that Zoe Budwe could possibly bait the indie electro hipsters with.
Okay.
I don't normally say this of Zoe's music because I feel her songs are commercial for a reason.
Yep.
And she has a crowd already set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know all my queens love this, but I feel that the hipsters might actually tune in and hear One Step Behind and, you know, latch onto that. That there's a hipstery quality about that, that I can't shake, Jade.
Okay.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we heard it.
That's the website we're going to talk about tonight. Now, you and I know that the mission with Different Strokes is to, you know, introduce to our strokers,
mm-hmm.
as we like to call our listeners, our yep. strokers, websites that you can kind of procrastinate on.
Yes.
You know, if you've got work, you need to escape a little.
Rabbit holes.
Rabbit holes on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I stumbled on We Heart It through Tumblr,
yep.
which is a major, major, major rabbit hole.
One of the biggest rabbit holes in existence, yes.
Yes. The thing about what procrastinating on the internet for me is if they're pretty pictures, I'm going to fall for it.
Yeah.
So the point of We Heart It actually is it's kind of like a website that serves as a bookmark for you to trawl through pictures. And all the basically it's a website where you can upload pictures and share pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have to be your pictures that you took or, you know, illustrations.
In
you
some
create.
Ways, it's very similar to Tumblr.
It is. It's like image only Tumblr.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Which is, you know, it's interesting, like, in terms of the way that the internet is growing and changing and new things are popping up, right? Like, so when Twitter started, everyone was like, it's just like the status updates from Facebook.
Except it's only a status update.
It's just the status update. And then it was like, you know, the next thing was, oh, well, here's Tumblr, right? You know, Tumblr is kind of like a combination of Twitter and Facebook.
And Blogger.
And yeah. And it's like, and now it's like, I mean, We Heart It, you know, even the, I feel like the layout and the way that it's all set up to me does feel very similar to Tumblr. I guess the difference is instead of having all, you know, audio,
all types of, yeah, audio, you know, video,
text, it's just image. One of the first things they asked was, oh, do you want to hook this up to your Facebook and your Twitter so that we can try and find people who are on your Facebook and Twitter who are on We Heart It. Surprisingly, I had, like, I just with my Twitter account, not my Facebook account, I had 10, oh my God, I had like 10 people on there.
Yeah, 10 people on We Heart It.
That reaction was because Dave was stroking a picture of a guy with a six pack.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's how desperate it's become.
I can't help it. It's just, it's a nice picture and I was paying attention to what you were saying.
Yeah.
I really am listening.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you were.
As I go through my fourth page of pictures of boys.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.